Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Once again, and welcome to the Gary Zimak Show. I'm Gary Zimak. I'm going to be your host for the next 30 minutes. Today, we're going to be looking at the Mass readings for the 25th Sunday in Ordinary Time. You're going to like this theme. Today's theme, God provides for his children. And as a child of God, I am very excited about that. So we're going to talk about this throughout the program as we look at the Mass readings for the 25th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Man, it's so good to be back with you. I hope you had a good week. And I'm excited to breaking open the scriptures today and letting the Lord speak to us. As I was looking at these readings, it was reminding me of the fact that so many times in life, in my own life, and I'm sure in yours as well, we run into these obstacles, these challenges, these situations where we feel helpless. We feel like we don't know how we're going to get through something. So the idea of having a father who provides for our spiritual and material needs is, I think, a very comforting one. So as we look at these readings today, I think you're going to see that there is evidence, as we'll see in the scriptures, that if you look at this if you look at life through the eyes of the world and take God out of the picture, there's definitely plenty to be concerned about, because it certainly may not look, and even in your life, if you are a Christian, if you're somebody who believes that you do have a Father in heaven, that you do have a Savior, that you have the Holy Spirit working in you, even if you believe all that, it's still sometimes difficult to look at the world, to turn on the TV, to go on the internet, to listen to the radio, to talk to other people, to look at what's happening in your life, and really understand that you do have a Father in heaven who loves you, who is in control, and who can handle any problem that you ever face. It becomes challenging. But that's why I think it's so important to let the Lord speak to us through these readings, as we'll do today, and reassure us that, you know, it might not look like it, but the unseen world is actually more real than what we can see, because sometimes we put too much emphasis on what we can see and not enough emphasis on what we can't see. God's in control. You might not be able to see him. It might not look like it, but he is really in control. And that's a message that I am so anxious to deliver to you today, because I know you might really need it. You know, I get your emails, I talk to a lot of people, I know there's a good chance that you really need to hear and feel this message today. And in just a few seconds, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to help me to deliver this message, the one that I think you need to hear. And I'm going to ask him to open your heart, so you're going to really not only be able to take it in and process it intellectually in your head, but feel it in your heart as well. So without further ado, why don't we pray? Let's turn to that Father in heaven who loves us, who created us, and who has provided for us for every instant from when we were first conceived up until right now, because if he didn't, we would cease to exist. We're here. So that means he's doing his job. So if you join me, let's get this started. In the name of the Father and of the Son, And of the Holy Spirit, amen. Oh, Father in heaven, wow, it's always such a pleasure not only be able to come on the air and speak about you, but to begin each show by having a conversation with you. Father, thank you. Thank you for allowing me to have this discussion, to turn to you with my needs. You're always present for all of us. And I really want to say thank you. Father, we know that you created us out of nothing. We know that you have provided for all of our needs for all these years. We believe that you will continue to do so. Father, we know that you are all-powerful and all-loving. We know, Father, that if we trust you and if we turn to you with our needs, you won't let us down, Father. We know you're faithful. Jesus believed that. And we pray with the help of the Holy Spirit that we can become more like Jesus and trust in you as much as he did. Have that confidence in you as much as he did. To put your will before our own will, just like Jesus did. And therefore, Father, we ask you to send us your Spirit, to pour out your Spirit on us, to let that Spirit awaken in us. And gradually, or all at once if you want, gradually transform us so that we think, speak, and act like Jesus. Father, I ask you to pour your Spirit out on us also to open our hearts to the message you have for us. And finally, I'm going to ask that you, Father, give me the words so that I can deliver not my own message, but your message to us today. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, when I pray like that, I didn't always have this kind of confidence in God and in prayer. I didn't. It's a gradual thing. It's increased gradually in me. But as I was just speaking those words, I really felt it. I felt the presence of the Father. You know, I don't always feel him. I don't always feel him, but today's one of those days I do, through faith, feel his presence. I mean, I feel him more often than not, I have to be honest with you. And that's not because of anything that I did. I really believe it's because of the work of the Holy Spirit and me talking to the Father more, trying to trust him more, giving it. And you know, you can choose to trust somebody. Trust is not a feeling. Trust is a decision. So I can choose to trust God, even though I'm scared to death, even though I really don't feel like something's going to happen. But the more you do that, and this is what I've learned. And look, nobody's weaker than me. You know, when it comes to faith, when it comes to anxiety, you know my story. I'm a pretty weak person. But just like St. Paul, I've learned that when I am weak, it's then that I am strong in the Lord. Because I've learned to turn to him. And I get all this strength I need. But, you know, the more you talk to the Father, the more you talk to Jesus, the more you get to know the Holy Spirit, all of this stuff starts to make sense. And you do begin to have an increased confidence that the Father will provide. But oftentimes it involves stepping out and choosing to trust, even though you might not feel it. The more you do that, the more you will eventually feel it. And I can guarantee you, he is faithful. Put your faith in your Father to provide for you. That's what these readings are all about. My name is Gary Zimek, and this is the Gary Zimek Show. I want to thank you for tuning into the program. I'm grateful to all of the stations across the United States who carry the program. I'm grateful to the many podcast services who provide this program in podcast form. And I'm grateful for you for showing up week after week. I look at the numbers, I see how many people are listening to this program, and I'm so grateful. And it's just a real privilege for me to be able to spend this time with you. Now, this weekend, this program airs on the weekend, so we are centering the talk, my words, around the readings for the 25th Sunday in Ordinary Time, which is September the 17th. So in just a few days, my next book will be released. It's called Walking with God, Finding Peace and Happiness. Now, tell you what the book's about. It's from the Word Among Us Press. You can pre-order it now, but it's going to be available just in a few days. Amazon is reporting, September the 28th? But I think that's a bit of a, that's a worst case estimate of when the book will be available. According to the publisher, it's already in the warehouse. It just has to make its way to where it has to go. But this book is all about knowing, loving, and serving God. Do you ever wonder how you do that? Well, this is my attempt at sharing that with you. And knowing, loving, and serving God, that's the way you will find peace and happiness. You know, it's not like there's nothing in this for us. There is really something in it for us by becoming a follower of Jesus and letting him lead your life, surrendering your life to him. There's a lot in it for us. And we'll talk more about the book when it comes out. If you want to find out more, followingthetruth.com is my website. I also want to remind you, we talked about this a while ago, but you know what? First things first, I have to take a sip of my coffee. You can talk among yourself until I'm back. That's good. Straight black coffee today. That's it. Very good. I'm not a fancy guy when it comes to my coffee. What was I going to say? I get so sidetracked. I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, I have one opening left for a Lenten parish mission. Give up worry for Lent. One opening left. If you are interested in bringing me into your parish, we could do a 2 or 3 day, typically a 3 day parish mission, where I come out and share my experience and my advice for overcoming worry and moving closer to Jesus Christ. What a great thing to do during Lent, right? I mean, isn't that the point of Lent? We give up things so that we can grow closer to the Lord. What is worse when it comes to taking us away from the Lord than worry, which is essentially not trusting him? I have one opening left. If you would like to bring me to your parish, please contact me as soon as possible through my website, followingthetruth.com, or email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. All right, I'd love to hear from you. So you'll check that out at the website. And then what's next? Ah, yes, the readings. Let's talk about the readings now. 25th Sunday in Ordinary Time, God provides for his children. You know, when you think about it, it makes perfect sense. God created us. Why would he create us if he would abandon us? And, you know, we've heard this message. We've heard it over and over and over and over. Why do I feel the need to talk about it? Well, first of all, because it's the theme of the mass readings, but it's because it needs to sink in. I love to talk about this message because every time I talk about it, I become more convinced that God really will provide for my needs. Even though I look around me and there's a lot of temptations which are telling me that he won't provide. But the truth is, he will provide. Let's look at these readings. We'll get an idea of what's going on. As I always do, I start with the gospel. Let's let the gospel lead the way. Let's focus on Jesus as he is journeying with his disciples. This is Mark chapter 9, verses 30 through 37. Jesus and his disciples left from there and began a journey through Galilee, but he did not wish anyone to know about it. Isn't it like these mysterious details sometimes? I mean, the best I can say with things like this is that Jesus had a mission, and sometimes too many people finding out about what he was doing at the wrong time would have made it difficult for him to do what he had to do. But a lot of times these details are thrown in. You're thinking, what in the world is this guy talking about? He doesn't want anybody to know about this mission. But, you know, Jesus had his reasons. And so many times when the time was not right, he didn't want people to to follow him for the wrong reasons, to follow him for just the miracles. He wanted to teach, too. He wanted to explain, to show what the Father was all about, and then ultimately to die on the cross. But Jesus had a very specific plan. He didn't do things by accident. So he was teaching his disciples and telling them, and imagine what it was like to hear this. The Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him. And 3 days after his death, the Son of Man will rise. But they did not understand the saying, and check this out, and they were afraid to question him. They didn't understand what Jesus was saying to them, but they figured, well, we just won't mention it. It's always good to ask questions. You know, if you don't understand something happening in your life, read Scripture, talk to the Lord, don't always expect an answer, because sometimes he's just going to say, I need you to trust me. I'm not going to tell you anymore. You don't need to know the particular details. But if you do need to know them, he'll tell you. So it's always, I think it's a good thing to ask. They came to Capernaum, and once inside the house, he began to ask them, what were you arguing about on the way? I love this. But they remained silent. Now, why did they remain silent? Because they had been discussing among themselves on the way who was the greatest. Now think about that. Jesus had just told his disciples that he's going to be killed and he's going to rise from the dead. I mean, he was going to be killed. Now, they're his followers, but yet they're not that concerned with all that stuff. What they're concerned with is who among them is the greatest. The focus is not on Jesus. The focus is on them. Not a good thing. They had been, then he sat down, called the 12 and said to them, if anyone wishes to be first, he shall be the last of all and the servant of all. Taking a child, he placed it in their midst, and putting his arms around it, he said to them, whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but the one who sent me. We have a Father in heaven who wants to provide for our needs. But if we're not willing to surrender to his will and ask for what we need and cooperate with the grace that he gives us to deal with whatever it is that we're dealing with in life, if we're not willing to be childlike and trust him and go along with his plan, he's not going to force us to accept him. So I think that's a great message. You know, in order to trust God, you need to make a decision to trust him. In order to let him work in your life, I should say, and provide for your spiritual and material needs. He's not just concerned about the material needs, but he will do that because you have material needs. But you have to make that decision to trust him like a child. And what does a child do? A child trusts his parents. Or a child should trust his parents. If he's young enough, he will. As a child gets older, he might not trust as much. But like a little child, we are called to trust that our Father will provide and that our Father is in control. And I think that's a hard thing to accept sometimes. You look at the world and you think, no, he is not. I do not believe he's in control. But he is. You know, not only we believe that by faith, and also there's a lot of precedent for that. You look in the Bible and see things certainly throughout the thousands of years covered in the pages of sacred scripture, things look pretty out of control. But as we see, God is really in control. He has been in control. He is in control. But it's hard. It's hard to believe that. We have to choose to believe it. But examining the evidence can help us to come to that conclusion. Okay, let's look at the first reading now and see why the church, try to figure out why the church picked this first reading. Remember, the Gospels, they're just going sequentially each week. So the Gospels are leading the way for the Sunday Mass readings in ordinary time. But the first reading and the responsorial psalm are chosen specifically to supplement or support the message in the Gospel. Second reading, not so much. Second reading also goes sequentially, just like the Gospels. But as I think you'll see, there is a definite connection this week. There usually is if you look hard enough and let the Spirit help you. So the first reading is from the Book of Wisdom, chapter 2, beginning in verse 12. The wicked say, let us beset the just one because he is obnoxious to us. He sets himself against our doings, reproaches us for transgressions of the law, and charges us with violations of our training. In other words, the just one, and of course we think about Jesus when we hear this, even though this is written a long time before the birth of Christ. This is one of those prophetic readings, though. You know, get Jesus out of the way. He's getting in the way. He's making us look bad. You know, he's telling us we're sinners, but we're not. We're religious. We're good people. Get him out of the way. Let's do him in. Let's kill him. Let us see, and listen to this, let us see whether his words be true. Let us find out what will happen to him. For if the just one be the Son of God, God will defend him and deliver him from the hand of his foes. In other words, Jesus had trust in God. Again, I understand this reading was written well before the time of Jesus, but this is absolutely a prophecy, because we see the situation Jesus found himself in. And he trusted that his Father would provide, that even though his crucifixion would involve a lot of pain and his death, that death wasn't the end of the story. And he was going to rise again. His Father would indeed come through for him, as he will come through for us. But these people, the wicked in this reading, they're saying, let's see. Let's really see. This person who trusts God, his Father, let's see if God really comes through for him. For if the just one be the Son of God, God will defend him and deliver him from the hand of his foes. With revilement and torture, let us put the just one to the test, so that we may have proof of his gentleness and try his patience. Let us condemn him to a shameful death, for according to his own words, God will take care of him. Obviously, the people saying this, and the same people putting Jesus to death, the people putting Jesus to death as well, they didn't really think that he was going to rise from the dead. He said it, but they didn't believe it. God's not going to provide for him. Let's kill him, and then we'll see. We'll prove that we're right. Now, you see, this is pride. This is pride. And, you know, we all have to watch out for pride. Pride is when we know best. Even when we don't trust God, and I do it. I'm guilty of this. When we don't trust God, we begin to panic and we think, oh, this is never going to work out. Sometimes that fear can't be controlled, but a lot of times it can. The best way to combat fear of what might happen, fear of the circumstances in our life, is to just anchor ourselves in God's word and really spend that time with and receive the sacraments as often as you can. Because then we begin to really believe differently. We begin to believe, like, I know what the world's telling me. I know this doesn't look good, but you know what? Almighty God is my Father. He can take care of it. You know, but that's how this has to happen with us, okay? So, let's see. Responsorial Psalm, Psalm 54. The Lord upholds my life. O God, by your name save me, and by your might defend my cause. O God, hear my prayer. Hearken to the words of my mouth. For the haughty have risen up against me. Yeah, they tried to kill Jesus. We see throughout the Bible, the good oftentimes are oppressed. The poor, the needy, they're treated like dirt. They're squashed down. The ruthless seek my life. They set not God before their eyes. Behold, God is my helper. God is your helper too. He's your Father. He's your helper. The Lord sustains my life. Freely will I offer you sacrifice. I will praise your name, O Lord, for its goodness. The Lord upholds my life. People can do what they want to me, but ultimately, I'm going to live forever in heaven as long as I follow Jesus and do what he says. You know, it really is that simple. But it's challenging. That's why I try to go to confession. That's why I have to go to confession so many times, because it's not easy to do the right thing. It's not easy because we have a fallen human nature. You know, the trick is to let the Holy Spirit work in you and do good through you. That's the trick. But you got to let him work in you. And that's a challenge, because a lot of us, we're just so proud and we know what's best. Let's look at the second reading. It's from the letter of James, chapter 3, verse 16. We start in. Beloved, when jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every foul practice. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure, then peaceable, gentle, compliant, full of mercy and good fruits, without inconstancy or insincerity. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace for those who cultivate peace. Doing the right thing is going to result in peace, not only internally, which who doesn't want peace, but also it's going to result in peace as it flows through you to all those people you encounter. It's going to bring you peace, and it's going to bring those you're around peace as well. Doing the right thing, living a righteous life, choosing God's will over your will. While it's happening, it can be challenging. But once you overcome the temptation and you choose to do the right thing, even though it's difficult, it yields a pretty great reward. Where do the wars and where do the conflicts among you come from? Is it not from your passions that make war with your members? You covet, but you do not possess. You kill and envy, but you cannot obtain. You fight and wage war. You do not possess because you do not ask. You ask, but you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You know, that's a really great point. Sometimes we ask for things that are not good for us. We ask selfishly. God's going to give you something if it's right for you and it's good for you. He's going to give it to you. Maybe not when you want it, but he's going to give you what you need. He wants us to ask for things we need. Why? Because he's a good father. He provides. What happens when he doesn't? Well, either you didn't need it at this point in time, you may need it in the future, or it's not good for you. And that's, again, these are not easy concepts. I make them sound trivial. They're not trivial. I struggle with this stuff all the time. I know it in my head, but sometimes it doesn't filter down to my heart. But what, as we bring this to a close, I really just want to focus on Jesus and how much he trusted his Father. He trusted his Father, and he sought more than anything else to do the will of his Father. Now, you and me, once we're baptized, we become incorporated into Jesus. In addition to our original sin being wiped away, we become members of the church, which is the mystical body of Christ. So us, you and me, and every other member of the church, we make up Jesus. What a difficult concept. I mean, it's not difficult to understand. Everyone who is a Christian is part of the body of Christ with Christ at the head. But it's hard to comprehend. You and me, we're part of the body of Christ. Wow. But the goal is for us individually through the church. You know, the Lord pours out graces through his church. That's why the sacraments are so important. That's why communal worship is really important. In addition to personal faith, prayer, talking to the Lord every day. Ultimately, the Holy Spirit's job is to turn each of us, you and me, into Jesus. So that when people see us, they see Jesus. And I think I said this in the opening prayer today. I ask the Holy Spirit to help me think, speak, and act like Jesus. And along with that goes complete trust in our Heavenly Father. Because you, me, and Jesus, we got the same Heavenly Father. And that's amazing, isn't it? What a great and special gift. He will provide. But we have to ask him. And we have to go along with what he wants us to do. Okay? Hey, I'm praying for you. I want to thank you for listening to the program. If you have any questions, Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. I'm a little short on donations for my ministry, so if you could help me out, please go to followingthetruth.com and make an online, totally secure donation. If you wouldn't mind, that would really help me. Again, that's at followingthetruth.com. I really could use it. And I hope you have a great week. God willing, I'll be back with you here next week on the program. Remember, God's your Father. He loves you, and he will provide. Really. God bless you. See you next time.
This is Kevin O'Brien of EWTN's Theater of the Word. I'm excited also to teach middle school and high school literature, speech, and drama with homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. Your student can meet with me online for a live, interactive class. Whether you take apologetics with John Martinoni or grade school with Jackie De La Viaga or any of the other 400-plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, online Catholic learning for your homeschooling family is available for you.